Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. The last part of the 20th century experienced world revolution. Despite periods of relative peace, the world has been on the edge of a volcano that has often erupted. There seems to be no immunity from destruction. Governments are overthrown, cultures are shattered, sacred traditions are cast aside. The world is full of noise and confusion and chaos. And possibly the world has always been this way, but surely our age has seen its share. What people thought was nailed down has been pulled up. With mass murders, bizarre behavior, gang violence, lawlessness, surely we all recognize our era has been explosive. Such is evident in the doubt and the fear and the skepticism and the godlessness of people. One has described our age with a single word, the word nervous. We're told that people have more knowledge and more education, more scientific progress, and that these things hold the cure for everything. But have such things produced the utopia that's been promised? Obviously not. And they cannot. Into this explosive age, we have what is called the gospel to serve Jesus Christ. We may live and wish to live in some other period of time, when things may have seemed more secure. But, my dear listener, we live in the present. We live this century. What can we do? To do what we can do is to anchor ourselves to prevent ourselves being tossed about by every wind that comes along. Do we allow ourselves to simply drift along on the uncharted and uncontrolled currents of degradation? Shall we bow to misdirections of revolution even against God? Well, the answer we propose is a firm no. There is a reliable guide. There is a foundation upon which we can take our stand and not be moved so that we live confidently with the assurances that such a way is right and eternally lasting. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, 47 through 49, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house, he could not shake it, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great." Now we built the house of our lives on solid rock when we hear and do the will of God. In the Bible, we have the firm foundation we need because we have the truth of God, truth about ourselves, about life, and about eternity. One dominant characteristic of Christ was his dogmatic and unwavering endorsement of Scripture as the authoritative Word of God. Yes, he often criticized human traditions and vain religions, even aged institutions and cherished beliefs and misinterpretations of Scripture. But never did he belittle or set aside or contradict Scripture. Would that we all would be so wise. Now there are those who do not hold this view of Scripture as Christ did. Those who follow him are being told that our faith is in a dead book rather than a living Lord, and that we have such a zeal for the Bible that we are guilty of what they call bibliolatry, that we have a paper pope, and other such disparaging remarks are made. Some claim that sooner or later we shall see the Bible is full of errors and cracks and flaws, historically and scientifically, and that when we do, we shall lose our faith. Friend, if the Bible was shown to be such, we would have no basis for our faith or source of authority, to be sure. The Savior, the Scriptures, stand or fall together, because all we know of the Savior is what is revealed in Scripture. The reason some have lost faith in Christ is because they have been convinced the Bible is false. People always leave the Christ of the Bible when they leave the Bible. They adopt some kind of Christ of their own making, but not the true Christ. But in spite of the reckless and the vicious, the radical and slanderous efforts of the enemies of Christ, Not one jot or tittle of Scripture has fallen. No intelligent Bible believer is guilty of making the Bible an idol. And while he treats the Word of God with respect and gratitude and submission, it's not because the Bible is an idol, but because he respects God and accepts the Bible as the Word of God. Years ago, Victor Records once advertised with a dog listening to a phonograph, and the slogan was, "His Master's Voice." So it is with the believer and the Bible. The Bible reveals his master's voice. The reason our tottering and trembling and shaking world is on the brink of universal disaster is because people have rejected the Word of God. That Word always has been relevant to the needs of mankind. The tragedy of our day is that the Word has been buried beneath the rubbish of this world. The light has been smothered under the refuge of this world, under the tragedies of sin. And even more tragic, the Word has been in many cases buried, even by some who say they serve the Lord. Isn't this amazing? It is absurd. It reminds us of what happened in Judah, as recorded in 2 Kings chapter 22, when the very Word of God was lost in the very temple of God. While repairing the temple, the book of the law of God was discovered, however. The Word had fallen into such disrespect and disuse that it was lost. The result was the failure to know and to learn. Sacred vessels were used in idol worship. Priests were concentrating themselves to the service of Baal. Cult prostitutes plied their trade right in the temple itself. Sons and daughters were burned as sacrifice to false gods. Heathen temples were erected. Every desecration imaginable had become a reality, all because the people had lost the Word of God. And just as its loss brought degradation, finding it, learning it, and applying it brought restoration. Idols were torn down. Altars to Baal were destroyed. Vile worship ceased. Josiah the king was horrified at the wickedness and the neglect and the departure from the truth, and he did all in his power to institute a reform. He engaged in the gigantic task of teaching the people the Word of God. In 2 Kings 23, verses 1 and 2, "And the king sent and gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem, and the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great, and he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord." Friend, you see, it was needful for all the people, great and small, leaders and followers, to know the words of the Lord. And it's that way today. If God's chosen people, dwelling right there in the promised land, could and did lose his word, right in the very temple, surely we can know it can be lost in a world of rebellion against God. It has been lost as far as most of the religious world is concerned. Well, while we do not yet read of prostitutes operating out of church buildings, we hear many so-called ministers talking about this new morality, contending for gay churches where homosexuality is acceptable. Dear friend, the moral standards of Christ are no longer useful to such people, you see. Non-Christian teachers have been invited to use facilities of churches that call themselves Christians. There even be atheists who claim to be Christians. Why, this is like claiming up is down, right is wrong, and yes is no. There even be so-called Christians who claim God is not so narrow as to insist that all men approach him through Christ, in spite of John 14:6 and Acts 4 and verse 12. They deny the inspiration, the sufficiency, and the infallibility of Scripture. And anything in Scripture that they don't like, they just set it aside. They just ignore it. The emphasis on the material and human wisdom to the neglect of the revelation from God is dominant among many, which only shows how far removed from truth the world has gone. Such an attitude in the hearts of men is one avenue Satan uses to attack the truth. Some rise up in indignation at this, and they say, "Not so." And some challenge and reject the contentions of the skeptics. But the ignorance of the Word of God is just an effective way of showing disrespect for it, as it was in Judah's time, when the skeptics were attacking it and they were losing it. Sometimes a direct attack on the Bible provokes a defense of it. Ignorance on the part of those who claim to believe it only surrenders the truth without even giving the devil a fight. Hosea 4 in verse 6 said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Friend, you cannot please God without faith, Hebrews 11 in verse 6. And you cannot have the proper faith without the Word, Romans 10 in verse 17. And you cannot know the message of truth without study, 2 Timothy 2 in verse 15. If one wishes to usher upon his head anarchy and godlessness and violence, and those for oncoming generations as well, if he wishes to crown Satan as king and turn the world over to heathenism, bringing terror and persecution and destruction to believers, even inviting the sacrifice of life, the abandonment of the eternal bliss for friends and children and self, just remove the only barrier now holding back the flood of chaos. Just refuse to know and refuse to live the teaching of God. Just fail to build your life on the Bible. Just let the craze for change and something new and sensational and exciting replace the 2,000-year-old tried and true gospel of Jesus Christ. No, you don't have to become a monster, a murderer, raise riots, indulge in immorality. Just fail to build your house upon the rock. Let the petty, trivial, temporal, worldly things mean more to you than standing for the truth in a sin-stained and sin-ruined world. Allow the world crowd to direct your life. Allow it to push out worship, Bible study, godly living. And by this, you'll make a significant contribution to the forces of evil. But a person or a church that knows the Bible, it will not digress, not if it truly believes the Bible. But if not taught, and they don't know the Bible, that person or that church can be carried anywhere and almost everywhere by most anybody at any time. I ask you, dear listener, on what are you building your life? On what are you staking your eternity? We plead with one and all to build on the Bible, the authoritative, inspired, inerrant, infallible, and all-sufficient Word of God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.